People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Omaha!
Omaha! Omaha!
Omaha!
Omaha!
Omaha!
Omaha!
Omaha!
Hey, Montana, five
man! Omaha!
Cut that meat!
Omaha!
We're trying to get him to just play. Out of college, what they said a lot was that he had tendencies to, you know, disappear. And so a lot of times, you know, we have to call plays to get him going. I said, I'm not going to do that. You know, these last 20 games, you're going to have to learn how to play. You're going to have to generate your own offense and generate your own opportunities. That's his next step. Now he's got to find a way to get to his areas on his own. You know, it's something mentally he's got to work on, and also physically.
Very well stated. And to the point, Flip Saunders regarding Andrew Wiggins. He's been babysat now for a little while. He's got to find it on his own now. The spoon feeding is over with. And we have with us a cold Omaha writer from 105 The Ticket. We have Tom Schreier. Tom Schreier, we love the way you laugh.
Yeah, no, I'm listening to that statement. I think everything there is true. And I think it's cool. You actually found the audio that I used in my story. But I don't think those guys ever had baby fat. I'm pretty convinced those guys just came out of the womb just six-pack. Absolutely jacked. I think Wiggins just jumped out of it.
He probably
Levine
did.
Levine probably dunked on something. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't think those guys ever had any fat.
But they have been forced into the lineup and into some real time in the NBA in their short rookie year, first rookie years. So it's an only rookie year, I guess. But I think that's an amazing thing for that many young guys to take part in this thing. Something good has had to have come from it.
Yeah, I mean, I think in some ways Wiggins has been blessed in kind of a weird way. I mean, I think that trade helped him out. He very much, for a guy who's so quiet and so reserved and I think very calculated, when he gets on the court, I mean, there's no second guessing that he knew what he was doing when he was dunking on Love. He knew, you know, the catalyst for his season was that Cleveland game, that first one. He knew the stakes when he was going against LeBron. And beyond that, just, I mean, he's going, you know, as I've said on the show before, gone toe-to-toe with Harden and some of the best in the league. So I think in some ways for a guy like that, he's had to assert himself, and Flip's the perfect guy. I mean, I kept on making a comparison kind of almost like father-son, and it's because Flip did it in the beginning of the season. He said, hey, you know, I raised four children who are now over 22, I believe. And then, you know, now I got kind of, this is, you know, the second wave. And really with, you know, Levine, it's harder to see. I don't see as much tough love. But he is expecting Levine to be a full-fledged player. This isn't like a sideshow that to try to get people in early or just to promote it when he won the dunk contest. And as I wrote in my story, I believe he hit last month in March, hit more threes than he did in the first 2 months combined. And that was an eyeball test thing. I wasn't tracking the stats or anything. I just used the stats to back it up. But you could just tell from the eyeball test, he's more confident in his shot, and he's getting a lane. And you know what? I think he's a two-guard. But Flip is right in some sense that, you know, really you shouldn't limit him, because if you could create a Russell Westbrook, and really I think if you talk to a lot of people before the draft and they'd say, hey, Levine's a freak athlete, I'm not really sure he's going to turn out to be anybody. Again, another guy who's really benefited, he's not playing as much. And you know what? He acknowledged that in his comments a couple of days ago where he said, I feel bad for Wiggins. I'm not going to hit the rookie wall because I haven't played enough to. But, you know, they're both very close friends. You know, my buddy Wiggins is just, you know, Andrew's just going to get crushed because of all this minutes. But Wiggins has handled it to this point, even with his slight frame. And you know, Levine even said he's going to, you know, hit the gym and really try to kind of be a force, you know, in the next few years to come.
Yeah, with the audio we played of Flip Saunders, which was just a couple of weeks ago, saying we're not going to run plays for Andrew Wiggins anymore. He's got to score his own points. He's got to get to his own spots and do his own thing. I want to say it took a couple of games, but Wiggins has responded nicely. We're talking to Tom Schreier from Cold Omaha at 105theticket.com. His new article, Wiggins, Levine, and Muhammad have come a long way this year. And you were talking about Flip Saunders being hard on Wiggins, but kind of buddy-buddy with Zach Levine. And what's his relationship with Shabazz Muhammad? I know he likes him just the same. He drafted him last year in the first round. Yeah. Why do you suppose that he treats each player differently?
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe what they need. I mean, like I said, and I don't even know if it's buddy-buddy with Levine. I just think he's not, at least in his public comments, and granted, he's not asked about Levine as much, but I just haven't, like, I just picked that up immediately. That I was like, yeah, you know what, Love is being tough on Wiggins, and I think just letting him know that he doesn't get special treatment. He's going to be, you know, just like every other player, he's trying to bring out the best in him. But with Shabazz, I guess, it's harder to really put your finger on it, other than to say, and I've emphasized this every time I wrote about Shabazz, we forget that this is a guy who was kicked out of the rookie symposium and that people were told, you know, Doug Gottlieb said, don't draft this guy. And really, if you look back at Gottlieb's article, he's going to get crushed for it now, but he was right in some of the analysis. It wasn't just a personality thing. He goes, yeah, it's kind of an old man body, his awkward dribbling. He's a tweener, which I know, Ben, you don't like those tweeners, but, you know, I think there was a lot of good analysis in there. And yet Flip just kind of went out and got this guy. And I think, you know, as much as he wasn't the coach then, you know, he was a big influence as the president of basketball operations, the face of the Timberwolves in my mind, at least he and Wiggins and probably KG. And, you know, it seems like they've done work with a guy that people said, don't touch him. He sulked when, you know, when his teammate hit a game-winning shot at UCLA. And you just don't see any semblance of it. If anything, Shabazz comes off as very earnest and very, you know, almost there's kind of a kindness to him that you didn't expect from a guy who seemed like he was very full of himself and that maybe he overestimated how good he was. And like I said, I haven't seen as much about it just because, like I said, I was actually kind of looking back at old quotes about Shabazz just because anytime you bring up an injured player, I mean, this Saunders is worn thin with all these injuries that this team has had. But, you know, looking back at what he said about him throughout the year, I mean, he's almost been neutral. I haven't seen him, you know, push him too much, and I've also haven't seen him kind of buddy up with him. I think it's just maybe he's just letting him be and kind of letting him just be his own guy, which, you know, for someone who maybe, you know, you got to imagine the pressure of someone's dad, you know, mapping things out for you and stuff like that, changing your age where we didn't know how old he was. Maybe he just needs to, you know, his space. And if anything, it's just Shabazz is just, as a player has evolved and as a person, he just, like I said, it was totally not who I expected him to be, just given kind of all this, you know, everything that was written about him and his reputation before he got to Minnesota.
I think it's a good evaluation on Flip's part to become, you know, being the coach that he is, you have to be good at knowing who a player is, individual by individual. Who are they? How do they work? How do you get the most out of them? So many different personalities, so many different levels of abilities and skill sets. What does it take to get certain people to work and work hard? And sometimes it's backing off completely. Whereas another guy, you have to jump them and you have to be aggressive and you have to almost scream it into them, but they respond to that. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater was being screamed at the most on the field down at training camp by Norv Turner. I mean, being yelled at. And, you know, it is the way it is, and a good coach knows who to do that with, and he knows they can handle it. But if you know you're going to crush someone by doing it, you got to back off. Or, I mean, if they're sensitive and you can shatter one of those kinds of personalities and ruin them, then you got to back off. Everyone gets treated a little bit differently, but the same result is apparent by the way they respond to the coach. And so that's, I think Flip does a good job of that. I really do.
I mean, that's absolutely it. And I just see even in a guy, and I kind of make fun of, you know, I have some fun with Levine that he seems so young. And he does. I mean, he just talks like a younger person and he very much kind of seems, you know, screams teenager. At least he did when he first came into the league. But, you know, he, you know, first of all, he's really kind of refined himself a little bit. And I think he is very well spoken in the media. Beyond that, just a little thing I noticed, like he was standing in front of, he's Justin Hamilton's locker room is right, or locker is right next to his. And he started talking and then he stopped and he said, hey, we're going to move over and kind of out of deference to a teammate. And, you know, if you're a superstar like that, first of all, and I think, like I said, at least in terms of freak athleticism, he's got that. You could ignore a guy who probably isn't going to be on the team next year and, you know, is acquired late in the season. But, you know, he's shown respect to people who have been, you know, been grinding it out and been in the league. And even little things like that, I think that comes from Flip. And it comes from this team mentality that, you know, the problem you have, and I wrote kind of comparison to, you know, Kevin Love, Kevin Garnett, you know, if you don't develop players together, what you end up doing is overspending to bring guys in who aren't invested in the team because they didn't kind of grow up with the team. They're not used to the atmosphere. Who knows what they think of Minnesota and you know, the organization. They're probably there to, you know, collect a paycheck and try to win, which is great. I mean, it's a way to do it, but those guys aren't invested full time. What I'm seeing more and more is the interactions between the players and just what they're saying, obviously, in the media, and then whatever we can observe, you know, in the times that we're able to be here. You know, I just see more and more. I mean, they are pretty close, and I think they are looking out for each other. And I think that comes from the top with Flip, where, like you said, I mean, that's exactly it. And it's what I think the Vikings are doing, is that he's not just looking at technically, and he needs to do that. He needs to look at what, you know, who needs to lift weights, who needs to shoot more, who needs to, you know, learn the offense better or something like that. But beyond that, just, hey, like, I'm gonna treat each player individually rather than just trying to kind of, you know, process these guys through. So, you know, as much as there's some complaints, I think, about Flip with not, you know, the team doesn't shoot many threes and stuff like that, and certainly you can nitpick his coaching. In terms of what he's done overall, let's, you know, focusing more on the president of basketball operations as well as the coach. I mean, it's really hard to argue with that. Like I said, I think this will, as much as it's been a disappointing season, I think you'll more see a team rise rather than Andrew Wiggins rise, which, if you want to see Wiggins stay in Minnesota, that's what you want to see. You want to see where he's invested in the guys around him rather than this kind of hodgepodge cast of characters that Kevin Love had when he was here.
Agreed. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Any big plans for Sunday mornings with the wake-up call in cold Omaha?
Yeah, I mean, it's very baseball-centric, so we're focused on Brandon Warren. We might get a wild guest in, too. So, you know, for anyone who's really invested in kind of this, the upcoming baseball season, as well as the Minnesota Wild, which obviously lost recently, but it, you know, was on a hot streak and kind of a fun story. You know, that'll be our focus this Sunday.
Thank you very much. Tom Schreier with Cold Omaha, one of the writers here at 105 The Ticket. Next, coming up, we have Brandon Lang, of course, the renowned sports gambling and handicapping expert whose life story was immortalized in the film Two for the Money, starring Matthew McConaughey as Lang himself. All of that next after the break.
Blue Devils, Wildcats, Badgers, Spartans in Indy. You got three number ones and a seventh seed. Michigan State, Duke, Wisconsin. What are you high? They'll never win. They're mere mortals. Kentucky is Thor. Swinging that hammer up and down the floor. The Final Four.
It is indeed Final Four weekend. Look out, everybody. We got Michigan State squaring off against Duke. And the dog, if you will, the first game beginning tomorrow about 6 o'clock, and then 8:49 the second game goes Kentucky versus that other team, Wisconsin. We won't talk about that very much though, but the Tank, by the way, Frank the Tank, player of the year, we don't care anyway. That happens tomorrow. That's the second game, 8:49 starting time for that game. Brandon Lang joins us now. He is a renowned sports gambling and handicapping expert whose life story was immortalized In the film Two for the Money, starring Matthew McConaughey as Brandon Lang. How are you, sir?
Honey, do you think KFC is still open? Do you think it's the... Get in the car! I mean, if you guys are going to throw out a little, you know, old school reference, I'm gonna feed off that now.
Why not?
That's one of me and my wife's favorite movies is old school. So, earmuffs.
Oh, sing it
to
me.
You're my boy, Blue!
Sing it to me.
Blue, you're my boy!
Guys, I think we need to put the oil wrestling on hold for a while. Blue is old.
Funny
old
stuff.
Old people die.
No crap. That's funny. God, you got him down. You got him down to a science.
Brandon Lang, we've been talking to you, it seems like, every week now since the March Madness began, and we're down to the final four teams, which is the big, big weekend. Kind of a surprise, I would say, by number 7, Michigan State, getting all the way to the Final Four. Tom Izzo coach team, though, being in the Big Ten with the University of Minnesota and the Golden Gophers just across the train tracks from our radio station. We know him quite well. It's a nice showing by the Big Ten, both Wisconsin and Michigan State, but obviously the big teams, and I would say the nation, is probably rooting for Kentucky and Duke just because they're the big powerhouse franchises. How do you see this weekend matching up with the four teams?
Well, it's funny. You know, I rode Michigan State, said they'd get to the Final Four. Things broke really well for them. I guess we'll attack that game first, but I just was very impressed with Duke over Gonzaga. I know Michigan State's had a great year, and they kind of find their stride after losing to Texas Southern earlier in the year. It's a rematch of the game where these two met the second game of the season Michigan State went into Duke. They were an 8-point underdog. They lost by 10, 81-71. Again, both teams are playing really, really well. But if it, you know, put a beard on Tom Izzo, give him a wooden stick, and let him part the Red Sea, because that's kind of how things broke for Michigan State.
Yeah.
Think about it. They matched up really well with Georgia. They matched up really well with Virginia. They matched up really well with Oklahoma. And they matched up really well with Louisville. Four teams that, if you look at all four of those teams, none of them had a player like Okafor. Not one of them. Not Georgia, not Oklahoma, not Virginia, not Louisville. And all those teams, those four teams I just named, all struggle offensively. Every one of them. You look at them. Oklahoma, they could score a little bit, but they're pretty much a one-man show. I think they run into the wrong team at the wrong time here. I give Tom Izzo all the credit in the world. I really do. But let's not forget, Tom Izzo and Coach K have met 9 times. Coach K is 8-1 head to head. So before we start putting the, you know, and think about this about the Blue Devils. They have won 5 points or more in 33 of their 35 victories this year. So rest assured, if you're going to take Michigan State, take them on the money line. Because chances are, if Duke wins, they're going to cover. And I just think Duke's going to take Trice out of the game. They're going to shut him down, just like they shut down the guards of Gonzaga, who I think, by the way, are much better than the guards of Michigan State. Wouldn't you agree?
I thought Trice was pretty special. You know, I watched him a couple times and thought he was really coming into his own. Or he was somebody else. I'll put it that way. He was doing things that I think even Michigan State and Izzo himself didn't think he could do. But he played above his head, I guess, a little bit for the last couple games that they've played. But, Gonzaga definitely was loaded. Typically speaking, I think they were better than Trice.
Yeah, listen, Kevin Pagnos is a senior guard. He was their star. Kid can get any shot that he wants and good off the dribble. Saw him get into the lane. Can go both ways. They held him to 4 points, and I think that was the difference in Duke pulling away. Also, last thing, at some point in the tournament, free throw shooting is going to cost you. And in a dome where the shooting's not the greatest and you got to knock down free throws late, that's the Achilles heel of Michigan State. I think they've been living on borrowed time. And listen, I called for them to get to the Final Four. I didn't think Duke was going to get there. I had Gonzaga beating Duke. I had a Michigan State-Gonzaga matchup, but Duke's there. And I think X's and O's, team matchups, I just don't think Michigan State matches up with Duke, and I'm going to take Duke minus the points.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, though. The Duke's a big guy who seems to be the number one player in most of college basketball, or has been for the majority of the season. He also can't hit free throws, so all you have to do is foul him down there or double-team him like Gonzaga and Utah did, and they might have some problems. But it'll be an interesting day of basketball. Brandon, we're running short on time. Can you hang on for the next break?
100%.
Okay.
You guys, the world.
Awesome. Nicely done. We love you.
We have to talk Kentucky and Wisconsin.
Yeah,
we've got to
talk some turkey on that other game. I want to ask you the X factor in this entire tournament and see if it matches mine. I've got one player that I've got my eye on that I want to see if you can come up with on your own. Come on back, though. We have Brandon Lang. He said he'd be good enough to actually join us again.
He's a great American.
He said anything for us, so that's what we asked. We want him on with us next, so we're going to do that.
Blue Devils, Wildcats, Badgers, Spartans in Indy. You got 3 number 1s and a 7th seed. Michigan State, Duke, Wisconsin. What are you high? They'll never win. They're mere mortals. Kentucky is Thor. Swinging that hammer up and down the floor. The Final Four.
Final Four talk continues with Brandon Lang, who was good enough to hang on with us for another segment. And he is a renowned sports gambling and handicapping expert, and that's why we've got him on. And he's been really good. He's actually very, very funny. He's a delight to speak with, and he knows more about anything than we do about anything. And that's saying a lot, you might say that. Brandon, how are you? How did you survive the break?
Don't sell yourself short, man. You guys rock and roll, baby.
All right.
You're the best.
Hey, we'll take it. Coming from you, we'll take it.
So we went down the Michigan State and the Duke game, which will be on Saturday. Obviously, both games on Saturday. And now let's head to Wisconsin. We're just right over the border. Honest to God, miles away from Wisconsin and the border. A lot of people around these parts care about Wisconsin deeply. Frank Kaminsky, the player of the year named today, taking on the mighty Kentucky, who hasn't lost a game all season. What do you think about that game?
Well, it's funny. I use Notre Dame big plus the 11 over Kentucky on Saturday. And Was I nervous? Absolutely. Because anytime you go against this Kentucky team, you're nervous because you just feel like after what they did to West Virginia, you just feel like, man, I'm going to be on the wrong side of a blowout. But Notre Dame did a lot of good things for a team that was great offensively. They're one of the top offensive efficient teams in the country. But that's not what I want to talk about, because if you spread Kentucky out, you can score on them. What I want to talk about more than that, what nobody really talked about after that game, forget Notre Dame missing 3 of 6 free throws down the stretch would probably cost them. But Notre Dame all year long wasn't really considered a great defensive team. They weren't. They were a great offensive team, but they weren't really that great defensively. And what they did was they focused on three things. They focused on not turning the ball over. They focused on giving up no offensive rebounds. And they stopped Kentucky's run-out game. Because if you look at Kentucky in the half-court set all year long, guys, they're not a great offensive team. In the half-court set, Mike Bray said, I'm going to force these guys to execute every play clock 35 seconds because their offense is points off turnovers, offensive rebounds, and fast break. And so what they do in the half-court set is they'll shoot, they'll pound the offensive glass, they'll get putbacks, and if a team can slow them down and force them to execute as Notre Dame did, they were in that game the whole way. And if Notre Dame is, let's say, Sizzler's Steakhouse, I assure you, boys, Wisconsin is Ruth Chris, Morton's, or Smith & Walensky's. And I don't know about you, but the best steak I ever had is that Cajun ribeye from Morton's, and I think Bo Ryan's got himself a shot here plus the 5.5.
I agree with that. Nothing like a butter steak from that place, from Murray's, or Manny's, and or Ruth Chris. I mean, same thing, and that's what Wisconsin is compared to Notre Dame.
You know, the big thing for Wisconsin is, which I think helps them more than anything, is last year they got to play Kentucky. They got to spoon with them. They got to feel them, touch them, see them, get to know them. And for them, there's no intimidation factor. There really isn't. And I think people don't give Bo Ryan enough credit for just what he's done with this team. 4 seniors, player of the year. If there's a team that's going to knock them off and use the recipe that Notre Dame used, it's Wisconsin. And I may regret this pick, but I just think Wisconsin, believe it or not, pound for pound, is the team that's going to do it. I really thought Notre Dame had a shot. They came up a little bit short. But one thing about Wisconsin, and I'm a big deja vu guy, I'm a big thing about history and karma and numbers, that 1992 UNLV was undefeated and went to the Final Four and lost to Duke in the semis. That was in Indianapolis. How ironic is it that there hasn't been another undefeated team trying to do this but Kentucky this year, and they're going back where? To Indianapolis. I said this to you on your show last week, and I'll say it this week. I got 39 years of a monkey on Kentucky's back. 39 years. It's never been done since Indiana. I just don't think they get that monkey off the back. I took the field against Kentucky, and I'm going to call for Wisconsin to beat them.
It's interesting because I think we've talked to you and then a couple of other of our local writers here for the beat writers for college basketball and the sports around the town here, where specifically her, Amelia Reno, picked West Virginia over Kentucky, then Notre Dame over Kentucky. Everybody's hoping for this upset over Kentucky, yet they continue to win. It's definitely going to be interesting to watch those games this weekend, and I'll be parked in front of the TV, of course. We're talking to Brandon Lang. Tell us about your website, BrandonLang.com.
Well, it's funny. I've in the history of my website, I've only guaranteed 2 plays to where if I don't win, you get a week of service. I cast both of those. So I guaranteed an NBA game today. If I don't hit it, you get tomorrow's 150 dime winner, number 10 in a row, absolutely free. It's a streak that's been going on for a year. It started last year in the NBA playoffs. I went 3-0 with 150 dimers. And I hit 3 in college football and NFL and back to college football. So I got 9 in a row going into tomorrow. It's a 150 dime play guaranteed with an NBA game tonight. So if you haven't gone to the website yet, go to it. And if not, and you haven't used the All Access Pass, that's at the top of the page. Click on it tomorrow. You get every handicapper's best bet absolutely free and find out who everybody has at the $1,000 value. My way of saying, hey, thanks for listening to me today. I love your show. Glad I'm doing it with you. You guys are great.
Thank you very
feel
much.
Feel the same way. Thank you, Brandon.
Really appreciate your time and the extended play. So check out Brandon Lang, and we do, and we use him all the time because he knows more than we do about everything. thank you, Brandon, and be on with us again, please, promise.
Listen, absolutely. And the question you were going to ask me, if Duke does meet Kentucky, who's the X factor?
The X factor. A lot of people are. I'm sorry, I didn't bring that up. I didn't know if we could squeak it in or not. Tyus Jones. Your thought of X factoring Tyus Jones? A lot of people are.
I was going to give Tyus Jones or Quinn Cook because I keep the Harrison boys at the guard spot. I think Quinn Cook's got to have a huge game. He had 19 points and 6 assists in the win over Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. I do think that he is a huge key. Jones is big. Hit the big threes against Gonzaga. But I think with the guard play of Kentucky being as it mm-hmm. is, Quinn Cook's got to come up big.
Better big man, Kentucky's or Duke's?
Oh, Okafor, just because he can play with his back to the basket and he can knock down the 10 to 15 foot jumper. Towns can't. Willie Cauley-Stein can't. They crash the glass. Towns plays close to the basket. You got to draw them away from the basket, and that's what Okafor can do. But again, on your show right now, I'm calling for Wisconsin-Duke final, and Wisconsin Badgers are your national champion.
Ooh, wow. Listen to that one right there. That's juicy. That had some juice on it. Oh, Brandon Lang, thank you for your time. We're gonna hold you to that one now.
Let's hold it too, guys. Win or lose, I'll contact you next week. We'll talk shop.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
Let's
Brandon.
Do it. Talk a little turkey.
Weekend. Happy Easter.
All right, guys.
See ya. He's good.
Yeah, I love him to death.
He's good.
He's not afraid to say what he thinks, too, which is the best part. He's funny. He's relatable. He's cool. He knows what he's talking about. He wins me a lot of money. This and that. Love Brandon Lang. BrandonLang.com, by the way.
Good people there. Next up, we're going to do top 15. Top 15 NBA players. Finally, someone has ranked them. The top 100. And I've got the top 15 for
currently or of all time?
All time.
All time.
All time.
Okay.
It's been laid out for us. I've been trying to find the list.
Okay.
The most current one I have finally found.
Let's do it.
And we will do that next. So sticking with basketball,
good.
We thought we'd just kind of stay with that thought, at least, and then go to the NBA level. We've debated it on this show several times. Who are the best players, and how would you rank them in the NBA's history? The all-time players, essentially.
The history of the NBA.
Let's go back. You and I have gone back and forth and back and forth with Sansevier and with everybody. Mm-hmm. I think we all have kind of come to the conclusion on maybe the top 10. We agreed on most, but we also had a debate once, I remembered, where does Kobe Bryant deserve to be in the top 10?
Yeah, that was you and I just, I want to say, maybe a month or so ago.
I have the answer.
That is
by
yes.
By the so-called experts, and they have a list of these people that have combined to make up this ranking of the top 100. I do have in front of me right now the official 15 through number 1.
Yep.
And I would like to go ahead and just defer to you.
I get to guess.
And let you try to knock down however many you can.
Okay,
it's always sort of the family feud thing.
Ready?
Go ahead.
Michael Jordan.
Number one.
Mm-hmm.
You got it.
Oscar Robertson.
The Big O is number 12.
Wow.
Yeah, me too.
Bill Russell.
Bill Russell, number 3.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain, number 4. You haven't missed yet.
Really?
Really.
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird, number 9.
Okay.
What? Number 9? He's number 9 on this list. I'm not debating it. I'm just telling you what it is. Okay. You're telling me what it is.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Number 2. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, formerly Lou Alcindor and teaming with Oscar Robertson in Milwaukee with the Bucks for a NBA title.
Hmm. Pete Maravich.
Pistol Pete, not on the list.
Just kidding. Then I'm going to say Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant. Number 11.
Told you. I argued with you that he does not belong in the top 10.
You're right. With this list in mind, the people that have gone into it who know an awful lot more about basketball than I ever have, you were right. I stand corrected.
Magic Johnson.
Here's another one. Magic Johnson, number 6. What? The hell are you talking about?
You think that's
about?
A little too high for him or what?
There's no way you can put Magic Johnson off the top five list, I don't think.
Oh, okay, good. Gotcha.
I don't think there's any way. Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
And the guy that is, oh, wait, by the way, Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain are the top four that you've already gotten.
Uh-huh.
You did get Magic Johnson at number six.
Yeah.
So who is number five? Larry Bird's number
nine, you said.
Nine.
Is he an old guy? But he's not like...
I don't want to answer. Okay. I don't want to answer. I just don't want to say anything.
I'm not sure who number five is yet. I'm going to have to continue guessing, though. But where's LeBron James on that list?
LeBron James is on this list. He's 15? At number seven. Right behind Magic Johnson.
Having a guy, I mean...
You're doing good, though, man. I mean, you're doing really well. But the ranking and order of this list is amazing to me. I think they get most of them.
651-989-9105 if you can help a brother out. 651-989-9105. I'm not asking, I'm begging.
Yeah. You're doing good. I don't know why you're begging. I mean, you're doing really good.
Because I'm running out of steam here.
Well, 15 guys.
Yeah.
Keep going. You're doing great. You're on the right path.
Trying to think.
Think big, think little, think anything.
Isaiah Thomas?
Well, he was on the top 100 list. He was about number 20.
Yeah.
About 20.
I wouldn't think he'd be on there. Akeem Olajuwon.
Akeem Olajuwon. Number 14.
Number 14.
The Dream.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
The great one from Houston.
Sure. Good Lord,
you're
man.
Doing good. You've only got one strike.
Radio Roulette.
Radio Roulette.
High 105 The Ticket. Who's this and what's your guess?
This is Ricky. I'm going to guess Oscar Robertson.
I already guessed him.
Go ahead, take another one. Big O has already been established at number 12.
Pistol Pete Maravich.
Already guessed
Funny
him.
Funny enough, we've already gone with that one. It's not there.
God darn it.
Yeah, now you know how I feel.
Well, there are a lot of great, great basketball players. It's hard to do. It's really tough.
What about our guy George Mikan?
Mikan was at about 18, 19. He was on the top 100, no trouble. He made it easily. Care to keep going?
Yeah, I would like to at some point. Any Spurs on there?
Yes.
Tim Duncan?
Tim Duncan's number five.
Wow. That's a little high for Tim Duncan, in my opinion.
He's ahead of LeBron James and Magic Johnson. He's still playing currently. Well, yes, he's number five.
Yeah, I know he is.
He's ahead of Magic Johnson. Tim Duncan comes in right behind Wilt Chamberlain.
What about the guy who everybody says is the model for the logo for the NBA, Jerry West?
Number eight. In front of Larry Bird by one.
What?
He is. Larry Bird was number nine.
Huh. Here's a name that I've been hesitant to say only because I feel like I'm going to be wrong, but Dr. J. Julius Erving.
Julius was top 25.
Yeah.
He's not on this list. But that's a great guess, I think.
Elgin Baylor?
Baylor's not in the top 15.
Are you telling me this stuff because I'm not going to guess these? Or
I would hope that you could guess one, two of them probably. Well, you know what? No. I know you could get one more.
Shaq?
Yes, absolutely. He's number 10. So you've knocked down the top 10 now.
Okay.
You got that done. On your own, too, by the way. I don't think I told you anyone in between there. You said Jerry West. I was surprised you got that. And then Tim Duncan.
Carl Malone.
See, Malone should have been on this, I think. But he's not even on the top 15. He's
the highest scorer in NBA history, is he not?
No, he's behind Kareem. I think he's second to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But ahead of Michael Jordan. And he's not on the top 15. The mailman is not there. Tim Duncan is there. Who's the 15th? Wait, we got 13 and 15 still. To go. And both are dicey, and I think you're going to have a problem with it because you don't think they're going to be there at 14, 15, maybe. But very well known.
Very well known.
Extremely well known.
I can't even imagine. Did I say Bill Russell already?
You said Bill Russell. He's unbelievable.
I've said LeBron James.
Yes,
I've said
you have.
Wilt Chamberlain. I've said Michael Jordan. I've said Magic Johnson. I've said Tim Duncan. I've said Elgin Baylor.
Shaq.
I've said Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jerry West, Oscar Robertson, Kobe Bryant, Julius Erving, Shaq, Larry Bird, Akeem Olajuwon.
Yes, you have. You have.
15 players, and I've gotten a couple
wrong. I'm going to give you one, and I'm going to leave the last one.
Okay.
San Antonio.
David Robinson.
David Robinson.
I was going to guess him, but I just figured that he wouldn't be. And I've gotten so many. I've had so many wrong. Okay.
The Admiral. So he's on there.
Yeah.
The last one. At number 15.
Number 15. Charles Barkley.
Barkley was at like 17.
Oh, okay.
He's currently playing for your Minnesota Timberwolves.
No, he's not. Get out of here, Kevin.
Yeah, that's
Garnett.
What I thought too. That's what I thought too.
Kevin Garnett,
number 15,
top 15 player of all time in NBA history.
All time.
Where'd you get this list?
It's a Bleacher Report, by the way. Bleacher Report.
15th best player in NBA history, Kevin Garnett.
Yes, that is correct.
Wish you would have told me this earlier. I would have liked to talk about that.
Well, I don't have any say in this. I'm just reporting. I'm just reporting with the list, which I thought was incredible. I thought ahead of Mikan, ahead of. I understand. I mean, he's played a long, long, long time, and he's
ahead of Karl Malone.
No way. Sorry. I know he was a great player. He plays both ends of the court. Great defensive player, great offensive player.
I'd say top 20, maybe top 25 all time.
You don't see Scottie Pippen on this list.
No, I know.
I know. Why? You don't see Moses Malone on the top 15.
So who was not on the top 15 list that I had guessed? Kobe Bryant is. Irving is.
Yeah, you
Jack is. Bird is. Hakeem Olajuwon is.
Yeah, but you didn't. Barkley's not in the 15.
Robertson is. West is. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is.
Crystal Pete is not. You said that.
Elgin Baylor is.
Baylor's not.
Baylor's not. Tim Duncan is. Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan. Will Chamberlain. LeBron James. Bill Russell. Wow.
Those are good. Those are awfully good. And for me, I mean, the biggest disgrace is not having the mailman.
Yeah.
Karl Malone was awfully good. I don't care what you're saying. Any argument. And I don't know. I mean, the big fundamental, look, great player and for an eternity out of Wake Forest. But top five? Ahead of Magic Johnson. They slid him ahead of Magic Johnson. No way. No. Doing a break? We're going to do a break right now.
Sure.
So here's how it goes. We're going to come back with the sillier side of sports. I've got a good one.
You do?
I got one good one.
Nice.
It's just unbelievable.
I can't wait. You get to go first then.
Okay. And then I'll wrap it up, as always, with a true superstar. And we'll end this thing on a sober note, the way it should be.
All right, homeboy. What you got?
All right, Slice. Home slice, white bread. Sillier side of sports goes like this.
I can't wait to hear what you have, because knowing you of all people, if you say it's a doozy, this is going to be one heck of a story.
It kind of is. Did you see the Jay Cutler football that he autographed?
No,
for an auction, for a charity?
Uh-uh, I did not.
Well, he did. He did that, and it didn't draw anything. Zero. No one bid on it. No one. No money at all whatsoever. Jay Cutler.
In Chicago?
Hated by in Chicago for a pet rescue charity.
Wow.
No one bid on the Jay Cutler football right in their very own town.
Wow.
And, for a pet adoption charity event that was held March 26th, the Anti-Cruelty Society attempted to auction off a football signed by a Chicago Bears quarterback, but sadly, no one bid. The item did not receive a single bid, according to Phil Thompson of the Chicago Tribune. I thought that was silly.
That is hilarious. That's
kind of funny, being Viking people, and we don't like Jay Cutler. At least I don't.
No.
I thought that was kind of a silly story.
And yet, they still owe him millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in guaranteed money, and he's their quarterback whether they like it or not. And they don't like it. Obviously, the fans don't like it at all.
No, they don't.
That's funny. That's real funny. Sillier side of sports, Bowling Green's men's basketball coach has been fired after a video surfaced of him in a bar drunk spanking women on their buttocks. Bowling Green fired coach Chris Jans after, quote, an investigation into his recent public conduct. The university said in a statement on Thursday that Jan's public conduct failed to meet his obligations as a head coach. The video was shot by a witness at a bar in downtown Bowling Green on March 21st. Clearly shows Jan's, a married father of two, by the way, slapping a female patron on the behind. The person who shot the video also provided a description of the rest of Jan's behavior to Bowling Green athletic director Christopher Kingston, saying, quote, While we were enjoying each other's company, we noticed on several occasions that Chris Jans was making what seemed to be advances towards several women. On one occasion, he grabbed a woman's head and pushed it towards his crotch. My daughter confronted him, and the coach called her a bitch. We expect you to handle this matter in a fitting way that will ensure this behavior is never repeated. Eagle, bye-bye.
Well, they come and they go. Bowling Green's coach. Now, they're sure that the woman was not his wife. Could have been his wife. Both of them in there just getting schlockered and having a good time and just whooping it up. It wasn't his wife, was it?
No, because, well, unless he has, I mean, well, unless he's a polygamist because he was doing this to several different women.
Oh.
But anyway.
No, probably not then. I'm guessing he probably wasn't.
Bye. After DeMarco Murray left the Dallas Cowboys to sign with division rival Philadelphia, Dallas found themselves with a giant hole in their backfield. Dallas decided to sign 7-year veteran Darren McFadden.
Well, that should take care of it.
And that's the punchline.
And that's the sillier side of sports.
No, I'm just
because
kidding.
We're all supposed to believe that Darren McFadden is the answer and the equivalent of DeMarco Murray.
Oh, come on. He was the fourth overall draft pick in 2008. Never really lived up to his height, though. Did say, I want to say yesterday, quote, "I just want to go out there and continue to show people what I can do. I still don't think the world has seen the best of Darren McFadden." Yeah. McFadden expected to share the backfield with running backs Joseph Randall, Ryan Williams, and Lance Dunbar, meaning they need Adrian Peterson badly. Maybe even more than the Vikings need a left guard. They need Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, well, funny enough, and another silly side of sports is that they did loosen up about $12.8 million by restructuring Tony Romo. And Adrian's scheduled to make $12.75 million. And also a key word in the McFadden statement was, "I want to continue to show people how good I am." There's no need to continue that because it's never been something you can continue from. You have to be good to continue that.
Yeah.
He's got like 5 seasons at about 350 yards.
Yeah, he's not good.
Yeah. One 1,000-yard season.
Josh Hamilton will not be suspended by Major League Baseball
for
violating his treatment program by the commissioner. An arbitrator ruled on Friday. Multiple sources with knowledge of the situation said Hamilton has told people his latest spiral began around Super Bowl weekend after a fight with his wife. You and I have talked about this before. Because he cannot carry cash or credit cards because he's been in so much trouble and has a problem with, I want to say, meth. Is it meth?
It's meth. Methamphetamines.
He wrote himself a check to cash. He wound up at a strip club, used cocaine. Before his next test, Hamilton admitted to using drugs, which prompted the meeting with Major League Baseball in New York that the Los Angeles Times first reported. Sending Hamilton's case into public view, the Angels will be on the hook for his entire salary, which is $83 million over the next 3 seasons.
Just money.
Yeah.
How do you get off that?
I have no idea. Especially a guy that has had, I mean, unbelievably talented, but has had off-the-field issues like you cannot imagine.
One of the worst ever. But how did he get off? I mean, he said he did.
Yeah.
Cocaine.
Yeah.
Well, he's off. How long is his suspension?
He's not suspended.
At all. Not even the...
He won't be suspended
at all. He's a multi-time offender,
and
he's off.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever his attorney is, I think Irvin Santana should look that up a little bit, maybe.
Okay.
This dude's doing coke and making $83 million over 3 years.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know how I got off that.
The Timberwolves are bad, but at least they're not run by Phil Jackson, who said, I'll tell you what he said here in just a couple
of
seconds.
He's a Zen master. He knows everything.
Yeah. NBA playoffs obviously set to start in just the next few weeks. Phil Jackson told New York Knicks ticket holders and season ticket holders that the team suffered a franchise record 61 losses this season, watching Carmelo Anthony bow out with a serious knee injury. And during a 45-minute presentation to these season ticket holders at the Gardens Theater, Jackson gave a heartfelt explanation for the disastrous season and ended it with, quote-unquote, "SHIT happens." I know you guys spent a lot of money, spent a lot of time here.
Yeah.
We were terrible this year, but SHIT happens.
You know, SHIT ain't supposed to happen with you around for $12 million, and you're the Zen master, and you're supposed to have all the answers, and no team, I mean no team, should come up with 62 losses with that kind of guy in the front office with Carmelo Anthony and anything around him. You're not supposed to lose.
But I think this was all part of his plan during that speech to season ticket holders. He also said that we had to take the team apart to rebuild it again.
Okay.
And they want to get...
Okay. Well, then I guess we can completely resolve this next season. And it'll all be settled.
Yeah.
And taken care of. It won't happen again, right?
It'll be perfect.
Okay, we'll see it happen again.
Enjoy the games this weekend.
I hope
Duke loses?
Wins.
Loses.
No, they have to win.
Because I need to beat you in our NCAA March Madness bracket.
But we have to see the two square off.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't want to call him the dog anymore. I want to call him the devil, and then we'll do the cat. Cat versus devil.
Okay, I like that. That is the best. And then there is also a Wild game on Saturday, Detroit Red Wings. That'll be exciting. I mean, now we're going to have to be flipping back and forth all of these games on Saturday night. Minnesota Twins will be talking about opening day a lot quite often on Monday. You'll come back on Monday, right? Please?
I don't know.
No, come on.
Okay.
That was
tough. I just don't want to eat too much on Easter Sunday, so I'm going to be... I'll be frugal. I'll be mindful of that.
We're
for
eating rabbit.
We're hunting wabbit. Yeah. Well, good for you. You're eating rabbit, you say. Yeah. Well, not the right thing to do.
Chocolate-covered rabbit. We stuff it with it. No. A real rabbit. We fill it with its own blood and cover it in chocolate. I saw that on Anthony Bourdain on CNN the other day. It's interesting and disgusting. But
good Lord, what's wrong?
Take us home, my friend.
Yeah, I better. I'm going to try and ease into this after that. Last remark. The true superstar for today is Marine Sergeant Chad D. Frokjer, I believe, or Frokjer, F-R-O-K-J-E-R. He was 27 years of age from Maplewood, Minnesota, assigned to the 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, 1st Marine Division, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force out of Camp Pendleton, California. He died June 30th, 2011. Going back and getting some more of these people that I know I have not been able to read, and I'll never be able to read them all. He died June 30th in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, while conducting combat operations there. Please remember Marine Sergeant Chad D. Frokjer in your prayers, if you would, please. Have a good Easter.
Lay me down in the cold, cold ground.